Continuation of tape interviewing Gertrude Kaplan.
Well, apropos student aid and scholarship for Jewish students pursuing their college careers. Mm-hmm. It was obvious to Saul Weisberg, then the Associate Director of Federation, and to several of us lay people working with the different organizations, that our methods were very unprofessional and sloppy. Students had to make out duplicate applications for aid. They had to be interviewed by separate groups. And it was not fair to them, and it was not a professional. And so we recognized that if we centralized every Jewish organization which was involved in the giving out of scholarships, could have a professional do the interview process, do a summary sheet and a review, and then in total autonomy, each organization selected the student which it wanted to aid, could still go by and does go by its own guidelines, and could give out its interest-free loans, which are payback, or its grants, which are scholarship, in any way that it chose to do. Now, this system has worked marvelously, and the program has grown. Where we started with just NCJW and JCC, and I was one of the lay people who saw the validity of this and was able to formulate a structure. And I must say that when I would give, and then became the first chairman of Central Scholarship and Loan Referral Service for Federation, when I'd give a report, our board members would say, just as perhaps you feel now, Gertrude, what are all these letters? What do they all stand for? As the program grew, we discovered that there was money for Jewish students. For instance, the Abe and Jean Kamensky Fund at the Pittsburgh Foundation left a substantial amount of money for worthy Jewish students. And here again, Saul Weisberg and I, in 78, I think, 77 or 78, Saul picked this up. We said, let's propose to the Pittsburgh Foundation that Central Scholarship, which has a structure and a process, find these worthy people. And Pittsburgh Foundation was delighted. And we simply submit the names, we set up a set of criteria, their board approved the criteria, we submit a set of the names of the students whom we want to aid, this is outright scholarship, this is grant money, and the program grew when we got those thousands of dollars through the Pittsburgh Foundation Kamensky Fund. Likewise, we picked up a fund through Mellon Bank, the Andersky Fund. Then Rabbi Goldblum came to me one day of Beth Sholem, retired at Beth Sholem, and said, Gert, we have some money at Pittsburgh National Bank, which was left by one of our congregation, and it's for Jewish students in the pursuit of college, but we haven't given it out. I said, Rabbi, what does it involve? He said, four rabbis have to get together, and we haven't been able to call them together. I said, do you give me permission to pursue this with PNB? He said, I'd be thrilled. To make a long story short, I found the trust officer of PNB, and I said to him, I understand you have some money. He said, Mrs. Kaplan, if you can get these rabbis together to distribute these funds, you will have the money through your Federation Central Scholarship Program from here on. And if the rabbis don't get together, Mrs. Kaplan, your organization is going to do it autonomously. Well, that's all the four rabbis had to hear. That's called the Aronson Fund, and we now get that money. Each category with its own criteria. The Aronson Fund was left by this man strictly for study at Pitt or Brandeis or Hebrew University. When we get a student who qualifies for those, we, again now, Central Scholarship, you see how it begins to work? We know where to direct these applicants. This year we're dealing with 178 applicants. As the program grew, the B'nai B'rith has funding. Now the Jewish Home for Babies and Children has come in under the fold because they see the validity of our process. They used to work independently. We used to cooperate. We used to refer to them, but now they are a part of Central Scholarship. Ladies Hospital Aid now is one of the agencies that's a part. This is the positive aspect of community work that delights me. Having been a part of it is meaningful, most meaningful. Because in the long run, our goal is to aid Jewish students who are going to college. And if we do it as part of a total package, we're being more effective.
Sydney makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, Gertrude, you have been involved in all the major Jewish organizations.
Probably.
And I'm sure we could fill many tapes with all that you've done. But perhaps we could go back and just deal with the major organizations. For example, let's start with Hadassah. Would you like to just comment on any events or ideas, perhaps introduced, that had profound influence in which you personally played a leading role?
Well, I must confess that after the donor chairmanship and Hadassah Radio Speaks, I have not had leadership roles in Hadassah. The irony of it is that they came to me to take a presidency literally the same week that I was asked to take the presidency of Hospital Aid. Mm-hmm. So my involvement in Hadassah has been as a life member, committed certainly to their program, but mm-hmm. peripheral.
But would you like to comment Hospital on those areas that where you do play a leading role?
Well, obviously I'm a life trustee of Ladies Hospital Aid Society, and the auxiliary and its significance in the changing picture of health care mm-hmm. for people has been very important. And literally this morning I was still at a kickoff of the organization. I think that, frankly, the growth of the organization in terms of public relations and membership involvement was the thing that I was so committed to when I worked with LHAS actively and during my presidency. It was interesting that during that time, I was a member of the guild, it was called, I think, of West Penn Hospital, which is the place where they put doctors' wives. Doctors' wives were segregated into a separate grouping. I always was rather amused at that. I don't know if that's still the case, because I have not pursued that membership at all. They were, in my judgment, limited in their scope, limited in their activities, and limited in their outlook. I came to them with this tremendous background in student aid and scholarship, but they really weren't interested. Interestingly enough also, the St. Margaret Hospital, which is a fine institution with which Paul has been very actively affiliated, he was the first doctor to be elected to their board of trustees, happened to be a Jewish doctor. This is a strongly Episcopalian institution. He was a vice president, and he really had been a significant member of their board for many years. And when the president of their auxiliary came to me and said, "Won't you work for us?" I said, "I'd be delighted to. I'll join the organization." I embarrassed her, because I couldn't join the organization. Membership there, as in many hospital auxiliaries still in the city, is a closed corporation. So this is an interesting exclusivity that still exists.
Whilst we're on that topic, uh-huh. seeing as how you have done so much work with both Jewish and non-Jewish mm-hmm. community efforts, have you come across anti-Semitism in other areas as well?
I did not feel it at all in any of the cultural activities that I've been involved with. I was on the board of Civic Light Opera for many years, and there weren't too many of us. I think we were numbered mm-hmm. as the Jewish constituency. Perhaps that's subjective on my part, but I think they were selective. Dan's council most certainly has had tremendous support from the Jewish community and still has a large constituency. In fact, the volunteers for the Dan's council have been mostly young Jewish people. United Way has sought Jewish involvement all along, strength from our knowledge, our extent, our involvement. No, I haven't felt it in any way. However, this is interesting, you should ask me. I was approached by the American Red Cross to go on their board, and I was surprised by that and began to dig into why they wanted me on the board. And it came out in rather not so subtle way that they wanted me to be their Jewish representative, their token. And I said, no, thank you.
So to get back to the Jewish organizations.
Right.
Where does your heart belong? Which group?
I suppose if I were really to narrow it, it would be Federation and Council, mm-hmm. National Council of Jewish Women, and Federation. I think truly, right now I'm doing a analytic kind of, I'm chairing a committee on Federation's public image, its public relations, its short and long-range strategic planning for campaign and otherwise, and we're taking a hard look at ourselves. When I was chair of CRC, Community Relations Committee, and I was the first woman chair, I was delighted at the opportunity to sit in at the formative meeting of the Black Jewish Dialogue with Harvey Adams and Bob Pitts of the NAACP and Fred Frank and Louis Kushner and Judge Larry Kaplan and myself representing Federation to implement and to initiate just that Black Jewish Dialogue. This was at the time when Jesse Jackson was appearing as a very strong arm on the national political scene, and there was divisiveness. We went through the period of Louis Farrakhan. We're still enmeshed in that.
What year are you talking?
I was chair of CRC in 83 to 85. Mm-hmm. And we held a very significant, we worked with Betty Pickett of the National Conference of Christians and Jews, and Leon Haley of the Urban League has become a part of our group, and the dialogue is ongoing. We created that with a very specific realization of the need to communicate between the two groups and examine our separate feelings and our feelings as we work together in community.
Mm-hmm. Of the other groups, such as Israeli Bonds,
Israel Bonds, well,
I
have enjoyed working with Israel Bonds. It's obviously strictly a fundraising organization. And bonds are an investment. The return is quite good. Israel has been a tremendous oasis in the Middle East and a tremendous friend of the United States. And I feel that as a committed Jew, we have an absolute obligation to support it in any way we can. But my work with bonds, and I've done it very happily and willingly, is on a different level from, I think, my deep involvement almost daily, almost in my blood, with Federation.
Mm-hmm. Any other major projects of Federation that you'd care to talk about?
Well, you know, I it's interesting that I recalled having been the first chairman of the Women's Plea for Human Rights for Soviet Jewry, which is now just called the Plea for Human Rights.
And when was that?
And Council was the convener, and it was these were, again, the two tie-in. National Council of Jewish Women was the convener for the National Women's. When was that? It was the first one in the city. I had to be in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while that that's been going on. And then in that capacity, Paul and I chaired the Candle in the Wind premiere together with the representatives of the United Methodist Church, the Reverend George Werner, of the Dean of Trinity Cathedral, Dr. Sam Gibson. This was a film that was made by a young California producer of Soviet Jewry in California, in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And these spot jobs, I chaired the 30th anniversary celebration for Israel, which was a citywide celebration. And come to think of it, now it's been, what, 45, 30, that had to be 78, because the state was born in 48. We had seven or eight ongoing projects under that banner. It was an exciting celebration. I've done so many spot jobs, I must confess I can't remember them. I chaired the Brandeis Women's Committee, a first membership drive when Brandeis Women's Committee came to Pittsburgh. I'm sorry to say that was one of our failures in Pittsburgh. We no longer have, I'm a life member, and I have great respect for what the Women's Committee does. It's totally supportive of the library, as you know, at Brandeis.
Yes.
But there's nothing in Pittsburgh for the organization now.
With your overview of the Jewish community, how would you rate it today in in terms of the general community of Pittsburgh?
That's a very interesting question. It's an interesting question because we are examining that very issue internally, as I mentioned a moment ago. We're concerned. I don't know if you see it or feel it, but we feel that our younger generation in this successful cultural assimilation and total assimilation in America, and two or three generations removed from the Holocaust, this generation doesn't have the commitment, we don't think, or the concern. They're a more self-centered generation, I do believe. Perhaps we have been guilty in raising them this way, I don't know. But we're concerned. We feel there are certainly strengths, and Pittsburgh is a viable, stable Jewish community, one of the unique cities in having an inner city of this kind of strength. And yet, we are concerned about our future leadership. I don't have to tell you that young women have gone back so strongly to professional careers. They would not be content to work, as I and my generation has, for free. They want to be paid. They're far less willing to do maybe less significant volunteer jobs, though I must confess I always wanted a volunteer job with meat. I didn't like doing nitty-gritty stuff either, and I guess if it wasn't a leadership role, I wasn't interested. I know that. But their attitude is different, and understandably so. We know the sociological reasons for it. They aren't children of the Depression. You had asked me that question before. I think that gives us a different feeling for what we are and what we give back. And what we give back. It's always mattered to me.
Sure.
Am I answering your question?
Yes, and I just wondered how you felt the general, how Pittsburgh views their Jewish community. Would you have any idea through all your associating about the Jewish
and
non-Jewish
world? I think there have been several most unusual creations in Pittsburgh started here. For instance, synagogue federation relationships. If we talk about belonging to a synagogue or temple, that was a creation of federation recognized by the National Council of Jewish Federations and Welfare Funds as a unique thing. Our central scholarship is unique. That doesn't go on in too many cities in the country. Our concern for Jewish education, we are seeing more money and more funding all the time from federation to parochial schools, parochial Jewish schools, the day school movement has grown in Pittsburgh. I'm on the board of Community Day School, Solomon Schechter School now, I forgot that completely. There is a constant effort for Federation and its agencies, its beneficiaries, to communicate and work together in a more positive way. These are one of the problems that exist in our community. They exist everywhere.
Sure.
And the who is a Jew question has invaded us. That came from Israel and I think has affected American thinking.
But would you say that dialogue between Jewish and non-Jewish organizations is good in a city like Pittsburgh?
I think it's very good. I think that non-Jewish organizations have reached out and are opening their arms to Jewish leadership. And Jewish leadership, which used to dominate the Jewish leadership scene, is very welcome, both for its leadership and its money in the non-Jewish community. We recognize this. We recognize this. And one doesn't have to do as much to be honored other than giving the money. The cultural community of Pittsburgh is strong, and the cultural community of Pittsburgh has its Jewish component, I think.
So the Jews do play a very important role.
I think public theater was absolutely the persistence of a woman like Joan Apt. Mm-hmm. Dance Council, I was extremely involved with Jean Beeman, who was a teacher then at the University of Pittsburgh. She was head of the phys ed department, though, that included dance, and a woman by the name of Yolanda Marina, who is now the executive director of Duquesne Dam, for instance. And the three of us were with Amy Kelman, who now is a full-time librarian at Carnegie Library, always was a librarian, but working full-time, and we were the people who really saw the potential audience for dance, the potential development of the dance audience, the potential development of choreographic talent. I loved working with Dance Council. Still am very close to the scene.
Gertrude, looking back over your life, a very full life, how do you view all your accomplishments, your successes, and your failures? If you've had any.
Oh, indeed. Quite normal and quite human. I think I've been enormously blessed. Grateful for good health and energy and genes to enable me to do all these things. Grateful for a wonderful, supportive parents, loving, wonderful, supportive husband, and dear children. So, on a personal level, enormously blessed and enriched. And as I said a little earlier, just a personal need to participate, to do. Creatively, I'm still trying to participate and do. The younger people laugh at me when they say, we need some people, Gert. Give us some ideas. How do we do this? Where do we go? What do we do? I'm delighted. I guess it just became a way of life early on. And I feel that leadership is leadership no matter where it's manifest. I think that a friend of mine who went on to get her PhD, Corky Krause, in history, and with whom I compare notes frequently. Corky and I are quite friendly, and I respect her achievements. She said, Gertrude, honestly, she said, if you were a woman of 30 or 35 today, you'd either be president of a major corporation. I don't know about that. I don't mind not having done that. As I indicated earlier, perhaps I should have gone back to law school when I went back to school. My motivation and direction weren't strong enough or in that direction. I have been very enriched and gratified by community work.
What has been your highlight? Is it possible to choose a highlight out of all that you've done?
You know, I think probably this involvement with students. The reality is when we hired the first professional to do the interviewing, and we went to the Vocational Rehabilitation Center for that. And then there was a turnover, and there was one professional after the other, after the other, after the other. I guess it was my responsibility, as I think back to it, and you just refreshed my mind, to be the one to orient them to their job. I guess maybe I know so much about that and how the program is growing and the component parts of it. I would say probably that continues to give me the most personal reward.
It wasn't quite clear whether you meant the scholarship part. How were you involved with the students in helping them?
Well, actually, before Central Scholarship, I mean both. I don't mean just the involvement with the students. I mean the aiding of the students.
Okay.
Did that make it clear?
Yes, but you were helping them to succeed in their particular job or role.
No, that wasn't the students. That was the professional counselor who had to interview them, whom we hired, whom we paid to do the hiring. Before that existed, however, Florence, we did indeed interview the students ourselves. Now, I'm pleased that we became more professional and more clear in our... cooperative in our efforts to aid them. But I'd say the whole scene of student aid is probably the most gratifying thing I've been involved in over the years.
And of your regrets, other than not
becoming an attorney,
anything else when you think back on it?
Occasionally I wonder if I had taken the route and gone to New York to try my luck in Broadway. Over.
We're coming to the end, and I'd well, shut you off in the middle of the sentence.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, any other information that you want to add that
oh,
you have on your list?
Dear.
Did we leave out anything here?
You have been so gracious, and you have jogged my memory so effectively. I can't, if I did shortchange anybody, they'll have to forgive me.
Well, we just thank you for a most interesting interview.
You have been wonderful.
Been fantastic.
Both of you, I am most grateful to you.